faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you're with us. All right, day three on looking at how our own U.S. government has carried out false flag operations and carried out inhumane experiments on unsuspecting Americans. And it continues to this day. I want to go back again into some history and share some clips with you. And then we're going to bring it to modern day and the NIH and Dr. Fauci. And, of course, Dr. Fauci didn't like it when one of the Fox News gals compared him to Dr. Mengele. But I think that was fairly fair. Wasn't Laura Loomer? What's the other Laura Logan that worked? Laura Logan. Laura Logan, I think, is the one that did that. You can Google and find out about that. I don't think that's too far off the mark. And today I'm going to share with you some very disturbing audio clips of what the government, the NIH, has been doing in recent years, and all with your tax-paying dollars. To say that America has become the new Nazis in our federal government is not an over-exaggeration at all, if you understand the philosophies of, again, social justice, national socialism, international socialism, the Nazi Socialist Workers Party, active euthanasia, Darwinian evolution, anti-Semitism, eugenics, the perfect human race, transhumanism, sustainable development, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Get the book Nazi Ecology by Dr. Mark Musser, and you will see that largely the Nazi ideology has penetrated our federal government. In fact, again, we played for you yesterday audio of an FBI whistleblower I interviewed just a couple days ago saying that the leadership at the FBI acts like the Nazis, and they didn't like that he said that. But it's true. That's why I wrote the book, The Coming Religious Reich, in 2015. These ideologies are going to recycle. They are recycling. America has a history of doing this. Once again, I want to put out the disclaimer. I love my country. I love my constitutional, the Constitution. I love the idea of the Constitution and a constitutional republic and being based on the laws of nature, nature's God, and that our rights come from God, not from government, and that government is to secure those rights, but they come from God. That's really from the Bible. That's the description of what God plans for the function of government. I don't like saying these things about my country, but I also know that as the left is involved in revisionist history, the right is often involved in revisionist history. People say what you're doing is aiding the cause of the communists to tear down America. No, what I'm doing is exposing the communist, the socialist, the neo-Nazis, the globalist that have penetrated these agencies. I'm not covering for them. I'm exposing them. The only way you can clean out an infection is to identify where the infection is and then to drain it. And if America has any hope of surviving, we must drain out the poison in our central, state, and federal government, local governments. So that's what we're doing, trying to get back to where we're supposed to be, under the rule of law, the law of nature, and nature's God. But we also cannot rewrite history. Let's go back and look at some of the things our government has done in testing on our own people, which lets you understand that now we have a massive experiment going forward now in America that is killing millions through this COVID clot shot to make people infertile, to depopulate. And, well, as I interviewed Matt Staver last night on my TV show, the death rate, the fatality death rate of babies, pregnant women, women who have taken the shot, didn't get pregnant or were pregnant when they got the shot, the death rate is now absolutely horrific. Again, this is the stuff of Dr. Mengele, the Nazis, Nazi experiments. It's not new, and it shows the absolute lack of respect for humans and human life and the civil liberties of Americans. The point I'm trying to make to you is we have been enslaved by a bunch of mad scientists. We're even going to hear from President Eisenhower here in a minute, who in his farewell address warned of these mad scientists. Don't think another Holocaust can't happen. I think it's already underway. First, here's an audio clip on various scientific experiments that actually happened on Americans. Listen to this.
Edgewood Arsenal is an American Army facility near Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, from 1955 to 1975, this base was home to thousands of human guinea pigs.
Edgewood Arsenal scientists can turn nature upside down.
Somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 men joined the Edgewood program, but even though they signed consent forms, they were never actually told what kind of experiments they were participating in. Upon arriving at Edgewood, they were assaulted with basically every chemical in existence. While a few lucky servicemen were given relatively mild drugs like caffeine, most didn't get off that easy. Some were sprayed with LSD, while others were given PCP or barbiturates. On one occasion, a group of soldiers were given BZ, a drug that causes agitation and hallucinations, and then put in a newly assembled outpost. They were then forced to deal with fictitious war scenarios the scientists watched on cameras. Most disturbingly, many soldiers were hit with deadly toxins like mustard gas, sarin, and VX. Many Edgewood veterans are reportedly still suffering from physical and psychological trauma, including diseases like Parkinson's.
And again, most of these people didn't know what it was they were signing up for. Many of them, now senior citizens, you'll find online giving testimony to what it was they thought they were signing up for, not what they actually had carried out on them. Again, not new. The government doesn't respect the military. Do you really think the highest levels of our military, other than a few here and there, have ever really had a whole lot of respect for our troops? No. Other than a few? No. Not at the highest levels. This kind of disrespect for our troops has been going on for decades and decades. And what do they do to the troops now? They force the clot shot on them. They destroy their career. They force transgenders into their ranks. And then they tell them that they're racist and they're homophobic if they don't agree. They tell them you may be uncomfortable having to shower with someone who still hasn't fully gone through transition. And you're not to act shocked or disgusted or appalled. This is how we treat the members of our military? Then again, we could do an entire program on the fact that there's overwhelming evidence our government knew the attack on Pearl Harbor was going to happen and let it happen. The deaths of untold, well, how many thousands, actually, of servicemen? And it could have been prohibited, stopped, never occurred. Here's the next clip.
In 1950, the U.S. military turned San Francisco into a bacterial testing ground as part of an experiment called Operation Sea Spray. With the Cold War looming, government officials wanted to know which cities were most susceptible to biological attacks. They also wanted to learn how far biological agents could travel through the air. For the experiment, they picked a microbe called Serrasius marcescens that was supposedly harmless, with a red pigment that would make it easy to track. The Navy sailed a ship off the coast of San Francisco, spraying a giant bacterial cloud into the air. Blending into the fog, the cloud floated down streets and into buildings, and soon enough, average citizens were inhaling millions of germs. The Navy kept this up for 6 straight days and then determined how far the bacteria had traveled. This incredibly unethical experiment had some tragic results. The bacteria led to at least 11 urinary tract infections that were initially resistant to antibiotics, and one man died of heart complications due to that microbe. But that didn't bother the government. They ran tests in American cities over 239 times, and these experiments didn't stop until President Richard Nixon banned germ warfare in 1969. As for Operation Sea Spray, it didn't become public knowledge until 1976.
Well, there you go. And I could just keep playing clips after clips after clips for you on this. Well, then, of course, we have this one. Listen.
From 1932 to 1972, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment was a study conducted by the U.S. Public Health Service designed to study and observe the natural progression of humans infected with untreated syphilis. Conducted entirely on poor, uneducated African-American men in and around Tuskegee, Alabama, the study was run in collaboration with Tuskegee University, then known as the Tuskegee Institute, which enrolled 600 African-American sharecroppers from Macon County, Alabama, including 399 men with latent syphilis and a control group of 201 men who were syphilis-free. As an incentive for participation in the study, the men were promised free medical care, but were deceived by the U.S. Public Health Service, who disguised placebos, ineffective methods, and bogus diagnostic procedures as effective treatment options. The men who had syphilis were never informed about their diagnosis, despite the risk of infecting others, and they were never informed that the disease could lead to blindness, deafness, mental illness, heart disease, bone deterioration, central nervous system failure, and death. Instead, the men were told they were being treated for bad blood, which was a southern colloquialism used to describe anemia and fatigue. After the introduction of penicillin in 1947, now the standard treatment for syphilis, none of the study participants were given the antibiotic, while scientists further prevented study participants from accessing syphilis treatment programs available to other residents in Macon County. After the unethical study was exposed by Cub Associated Press reporter Gene Heller, the American public was outraged to learn about numerous syphilis-related deaths in the infected study group, along with 40 wives who contracted the disease and 19 children born with congenital syphilis.
Yeah, U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. I wonder why they chose poor black sharecroppers. Could Darwinian evolution have anything to do with it? Racism? You know, you want to talk about racism in America, why don't we talk about what is at the root of the racism? Our educational system that has taught Darwinian evolution. The Democrats and their love of Nazi doctor collaborator, Margaret Sanger, of which many of them get the Margaret Sanger Award, including Hillary Clinton. You're not going to hear about this, now are you? Don't forget, Margaret Sanger spoke and bragged about speaking to the Women's Auxiliary of the KKK. So, we'll come back from the break. I would like to play for you a speech by President Eisenhower. It was his farewell address. Many of us know it as his military-industrial complex speech. He warned about the military-industrial complex, but he also warned about the mad scientist, the technocrats, and what they could and would do if unchecked. It was a power play. It was a money play. He warned about it, but most Americans, again, they're not taught history in our schools. Imagine if for decades we had been teaching accurate history, accurate science, to America's children. What if we were actually teaching the worldviews vying for the hearts and minds of the world? What if we taught them the real worldview of Charles Darwin and certain preferred or selected races? What if we taught them about the real dangers of these worldviews when they work their way out in real life? We wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. People would recognize much of what's happening for what it really is and the genesis from where it began. But that's been the whole purpose of education, has it not? To conceal the truth? We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. I also have an interview I did last night with Gerald Celente of Trends Journal. I had not interviewed him in about 10 years, thought it was time to get him back on, and he did not disappoint. And he came right out of the same, field of descriptions that I have been on, and that is what our government is really made up of. He talked about this is a cartel of criminals. This is a cartel of thugs and murderers and criminals, and they've gained a seat of incredible and immense power in the nation's capital. One that, by the way, President Eisenhower warned about, as we'll hear in just 1 second. But if you'd like to see the full interview I did last night with Gerald Celente of Trends Journal, you'll find it at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Also, we have made February Free Freight February when it comes to emergency supplies and things that you need, I believe, to be ready for what's coming. In some cases, this will save many people hundreds of dollars. So we're doing our best to offer a service at a reasonable price, and you can take advantage of that. You'll find those resources, if you're interested, available, and you can find out more about them at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can also use our order line number if you'd like personal assistance or have questions about these emergency supplies, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Here is President Eisenhower, just a small portion of his farewell address. Remember, Eisenhower had been a very decorated general. He knew all about the military. And here he is warning not just about the military-industrial complex, but what many people miss, he was warning about a scientific-industrial complex where the technocrats would use the unlimited government money, well, to go well beyond what was in the public good. Listen.
Akin to and largely responsible for the sweeping changes in our industrial military posture has been the technological revolution during recent decades. In this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. Today, the solitary inventor, tinkering in his shop, has been overshadowed by task forces of scientists in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, the free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discovery, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research. Partly because of the huge costs involved, a government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
Scientific, technological elite. Well, isn't that interesting? Of course, this is the man that also, I'm pretty sure, is the one that ordered the filming of the concentration camps, because he knew that people would deny that it actually happened. You can see General Eisenhower walking through some of these with General Patton and one other general. It's amazing. Let's listen to what he says next.
It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of our free society. Another factor in maintaining balance involves the element of time. As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. During the long lane of the history yet to be written, America knows that this world of ours, ever growing smaller, must avoid becoming a community of dreadful fear and hate, and be instead a proud confederation of mutual trust and respect. Such a confederation must be one of equals. The weakest must come to the conference table with the same confidence as do we, protected as we are by our moral, economic, and military strength.
Well, there you go. The scientific elite. Folks, there are, right now as we speak, health systems being put in. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Most Americans do not know what it is I'm about to tell you. They don't know. There are health systems, so-called health systems. They can't call them what they really are. Technocratic systems, systems of control, systems of dictatorship. They are putting in so-called health systems to use that as camouflage for tyranny. Right now, we know of a $78 million complex being built in Orange County, California. The attorney, Nicole Pearson, has told us about that extensively on my TV show at night, holding up the contract, signed, sealed, and delivered, $78 million complex. A big part of this will be, it seems, psychological evaluation, mental evaluation, determining who is and who is not mentally stable, mentally impaired, psychologically imbalanced. This is exactly what went on during the Soviet Union. Those who were the dissidents, those who did not go along, were deemed to be mentally impaired and often institutionalized in asylums. We already have the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, and we have the paperwork. We show it in some of the documentaries of mine, like Brainwashed America Part 1 and Part 2, which are free to watch as a ministry of WVW Broadcast Network and my WVW Foundation. Free. We know the American Psychological Association has declared that men who are real, traditional, patriotic, masculine men of courage and conviction as experiencing and expressing toxic masculinity, a mental disorder. We know that different groups have declared those that didn't want to wear masks during the so-called pandemic were expressing their narcissism. Labeling Christians as mentally unstable is not new. I document that in my book, Grave Influence, that came out in 2009. That's where Sigmund Freud declared that the truly sane individuals were those that had rejected the idea of absolute truth. That those who acted out their natural inclinations included those that practiced incest, cannibalism, and killing. They, he said, Sigmund Freud, were the truly sane individuals because they were acting out their natural inclinations. The Christians, or those that embraced a Judeo-Christian worldview, were really the ones that were crazy. They had suppressed their natural inclinations and had become neurotic. These health systems that are being constructed and built all over America, and by the way, as in, I'm told last night by one guest, in South Dakota, where one health system is taking over the state, many Republicans, so-called, are helping it happen. We now know that there is a tracking of Americans through a health system and doctors that, well, use the code to track patients that are vaxxed versus those who are not vaxxed can get big bonuses. This includes making sure that young children are vaxxed. And yes, basically they have put a bounty, I'm told by experts, on the heads of young children to make sure they get the biological weapon shot. They get the shot that is a bioweapon. If they get it into the children, that can be one way to secure very lucrative bonuses. Many of our doctors are now working for a Nazi regime. A Nazi-like regime. They're just too stupid to know it. I talk to medical doctors. They listen to this show. I interview them, and some of them I don't interview. But I talk to them. They regularly tell me how stupid their colleagues are. Yes, they have some book sense. But common sense? No. They are stunned, frankly, at how stupid so many of their colleagues are, how blind they are. They themselves would be afraid for themselves or their family to be under their medical care because of their lack of intelligence. Common sense. Many of them don't do their own homework. They don't work and read and study. They blindly follow orders, and many of these orders are now coming from the insurance agencies and big corporations that have taken over many of these clinics and hospitals. In one of my interviews last night, one of the, Jessica from South Dakota, was talking about these people that are indeed socialist and communist, as I've been told also by an attorney in who's also a state rep in South Dakota, Haygard. He has told us that in South Dakota, you have many Republicans that are actually socialist and communist. They just run as Republicans because that's what it takes to get elected. And then you wonder why they partner up with these socialist, globalist, neo-Nazi-like health systems that are going to track who's been vaxxed, who's not been vaxxed, and then financially reward the doctors. And now I'm reading that apparently some of the biggest grocery store chains in America are going to link arms with this new health system in America, and they're going to have an app. And very soon, you may find yourself unable to buy food if you have not been vaxxed. The article is today on my website, worldviewreport.com. I'll tell you more about it when I come back. Then we'll get into so-called Dr. Anthony Fauci. Was Laura Logan right to compare him or others to compare him to Dr. Mengele? I think so. Do you really know what Dr. Fauci has been up to? And his horrific experiments on children? You're going to hear about it when we come back. It's follow the money, just like Eisenhower was warning about in his farewell address. Worldview Radio, I'm Brandon House. We'll be right back. back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Here is an article over at worldviewreport.com, your aggregated news site that I put up new articles at every day. I've linked this one by Dr. Joseph Mercola. Here's how the U.S. government is tracking the unvaccinated. Subtitled, the U.S. government has secretly been tracking those who didn't get the COVID jab. By the way, we also know the FBI is now tracking. The FBI is now tracking. What did I tell you the other day before knowing that? That the FBI has declared war on the 20% of Americans who have not been vaccinated. And that includes patriotic, conservative, Christians, people that don't want the jab from with stem cells or fetus cells, aborted fetus cells. And I said, I believe they're declaring war. Why else would the FBI be treating a certain percentage of Americans this way? One reason why is they're going after the unvaxxed and they're treating us as the enemy because we stand up. We're a threat. They attack those they're afraid of. That was before I knew the FBI was actually tracking the unvaxxed. Now we find out they're tracking the unvaxxed. Mainstream reports of that. Well, here's this article, The Defender. The U.S. government has secretly been tracking those who didn't get the COVID jab or only partially jabbed through a previously unknown surveillance program, International Classification of Disease Codes of ICD, designed by the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics. Here's another one at worldviewreport.com. The federal government is tracking unvaccinated people who go to the doctor and to the hospital due to CDC-designed surveillance programs. And then I have one that's in here somewhere that goes into the fact that this is going to be combined with grocery store chains and health centers. Again, good luck eventually getting your groceries, your food, if you aren't vaxxed. Well, what is going on with Dr. Fauci? Here is an article right here. Look at this. The Defender. Guinea pig kids. Fauci's legacy of cruel experiments on kids. Fauci's legacy of cruel experiments on kids. The opening paragraph under the headline, recent revelations about Dr. Fauci shed new light on a 2004 BBC documentary called Guinea Pig Kids. The film exposed the cruel experiments approved by Fauci and funded by U.S. taxpayers on poor minority children as part of Fauci's search for a cure for AIDS. It is a lengthy article. I'm going to scroll on down to where it talks about these kids and this documentary. The documentary you'll find online. I found it today. The ICC, which marketed itself as New York City's only skilled nursing facility, providing specialized care for children and adolescents living with HIV/AIDS, end quote, was the scene of these crimes against humanity. In 1992, the NIAID, Fauci's group, provided funding to reintroduce the ICC as, quote, an outpatient clinic for HIV-positive children, end quote, and the clinic became part of Columbia University's Pediatric AIDS Clinical Trials Unit. New York's Child Welfare Department, the Administration for Children's Services, was empowered to offer up the vulnerable and underprivileged children under its care as lab rats to test toxic AIDS drugs like AZT. I guess you say this, Nevirapine, N-E-V-I-R-A-P-I-N-E, and various protease inhibitors. As well as experimental AIDS vaccines. Most of these drugs, approved for adults with AIDS, carried black box warnings and caused potentially lethal side effects, including bone marrow death, organ failure, deformities, and brain damage. Most of the children were black, Hispanic, and poor, often born to drug-addicted mothers. NIAID, capitalizing on the prevailing AIDS orthodoxy, justified the unethical experiments performed on these kids as the only chance they had to survive. Jacqueline Horriger, whose job it was to administer the drugs to the children, said, quote, "We were told that if they were vomiting, if they lost their ability to walk, if they were having diarrhea, if they were dying, then all of this was because of their HIV infection. I just faithfully gave it as I was told by doctors, end quote. Compliance as a undirectional principle has been a recurring theme throughout Fauci's career. According to ICC Medical Director Kathleen Painter, the, quote, biggest problem facing families with HIV-positive children is adherence, end quote. Huertinger learned this lesson the hard way when she began the process of adopting two half-sisters from the program. Applying a much more compassionate scientific method at home, Huertinger deduced that it was the medications that were causing the children's ailments. So she took them off the drug regimes. She described the improvements as almost instantaneous and noted the girls began eating properly for the first time in their lives. But her noncompliance deemed her a negligent parent, and she lost custody of the girls. She was never permitted to see them again. At ICC, the cooperation of experimental subjects consistently took precedence over their well-being. Children were required to take these medications regardless of their negative impacts and adverse effects that were attributed to their presumed illness. When some parents refused to consent to the trials, Children's Services officials would promptly remove them and place them with foster families or in children's homes where a child's participation would then be authorized. You see what they're doing here is they're kidnapping. The government, the federal government, through Dr. Fauci's group here, is kidnapping children. When children resisted or refused their medications, they were brought to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where plastic tubes were surgically inserted into their stomachs for drug administration. According to Charvar, at least 80 children died over the course of these clinical trials. Quote, Fauci just brushed all these dead babies under the rug, end quote, Charvar said. Quote, they were collateral damage in his career ambitions, end quote. They were, this is the full quote, they were thrown away children, end quote. A visit to ICC's massive grave at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York, drove that point home for Celia Farber, an investigative reporter who conducted research for the film. Quote, I can't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with AstroTurf thrown over it, which you could actually lift up. Under it, one could see dozens of plain wooden coffins haphazardly stacked. There may have been 100 of them. I learned there was more than one child's body in each, end quote. Compliance also was an issue when it came to adhering to the Nuremberg Code, even following federal regulations related to clinical participation. Instead of adhering to requirements put in place to protect foster children, New York created an institutional review board, an ethics committee comprised of representatives from the same hospitals who were conducting the research to grant approvals. That's what you call the fox guarding the hen house, folks. In other words, approval was put in the hands of the stakeholders. In March of 2004, Sharava's organization filed a complaint with both the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Office of Human Research Protection. The complaint focused on the unlawful enrollment of foster children in these trials and system-wide institutional failure to protect them in accordance with federal regulations mandating an independent advocate for each child. These kids, some as young as 3 months old, had no independent voice. And it goes on and on. And then you have the Guinea Pig documentary. Guinea Pig Kids debuted on the BBC on November 30th, 2004, but was abruptly taken off the air. Well, you'll find it online. This is your federal government. This is your tax-paying dollars. And I have shown you this has been going on for decades. Because we did not heed the warning of President Eisenhower about this scientific industrial complex that is about money, funding, ambition, and flat out, well, cruelty. What does one have to do to end up in a state where you actually oversee and agree with and continue such barbaric so-called scientific experiments? This is the same government telling you that the air in Ohio is safe to breathe and the water is safe to drink. Whatever the government tells you, folks, there's a 99.99% chance they're lying to you, and they know it. Our central federal government is no better than Nazi Germany. No better. None. We have proven the philosophies of the Nazis are alive and well. Not only that, our government in the intelligence arena and the scientific arena actually brought the Nazis to America. People we knew killed tens of thousands of people. We gave them immunity and we put them to work for our government. Birds of a feather flock together. Call them Nazis. Call them postmodernists. Call them whatever you want. It's the same ideology and philosophies. And you and I are forced to pay up untold dollars to them. Money taken from our children as their inheritance, or from us for our old age, to give to a bunch of perverted, child-molesting, child-sniffing, child-murdering perverts, including the one in the White House, who we all know is an absolute pervert of the highest order. Now, you want to find out how cruel and disgusting your central government is? Listen to this. Government-sponsored fetal experimentation at the University of Pittsburgh and Planned Parenthood.
The University of Pittsburgh is a hub for some of the most barbaric experiments carried out on late-term aborted human infants. Experiments funded by the United States government. At the same time, the university sponsors the local Planned Parenthood abortion business in what looks like an illegal quid pro quo for fetal body parts.
Really? The NIH? Huh, is that Fauci? Is he involved in this?
This photo from an experiment published by Pitt scientists in 2020 shows the scalps of five-month-old aborted babies grafted onto the backs of lab rats, growing the aborted baby's hair on the rodents. The Pittsburgh scientists describe these aborted baby scalps as full-thickness human fetal skin cut from the heads and backs of the babies, then processed via removal of excess fat underneath the baby skin before stitching it onto the rats. How was this paid for? With a nearly $500,000 research grant from Dr. Anthony Fauci's NIAID office at the NIH. It gets worse. This photo is from a protocol developed by another Pitt scientist for harvesting the freshest, most pristine livers from five-month-old aborted babies in order to isolate massive numbers of stem cells for experimental transplantation into adults. You can see the premature baby, aborted alive via labor induction, under surgical drapes with the umbilical cord off to one side as the baby is cut open to harvest the liver. The Pitt scientist who invented this experiment received nearly $3 million from the NIH. Third, the GoodMap Project is a multi-year $1.4 million grant to the University of Pittsburgh from the NIH. The grant makes Pitt a distribution hub for aborted fetal kidneys and other fetal body parts for NIH-funded projects across the country.
Well, hold it right there. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your question. Your questions, or maybe just one is all we have time for her caller. 1-800-347-9829. We'll be right back. Don't go away. All right, 1-800-347-9829. Take a look at this. Here it is. I'll link it over at worldviewreport.com here in just a little bit. But here it is. Fierce Healthcare. FierceHealthcare.com. Albertsons. That's a grocery store chain, right, folks? Albertsons launches app uniting pharmacy, nutrition, and telehealth. Yay, how fun. Albertsons moved to enter the digital health space with its platform, Sincerely Health, designed to direct consumers on their health and wellness journeys. Sincerely Health was designed with input from providers, payers, and tech experts, along with insights from 10,000 customers' employees. Users can connect data from wearables, integrate prescriptions, design their diet, and make telehealth or vaccination appointments. What is this, folks? It's Albertsons, the grocery store, I guess. They're moving into the digital health space. You go to the grocery store, where are your peppers? Well, then you cannot come in here. Is that where we're going, folks? Because that's what some experts are predicting, that that's exactly where we're going. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe, line one. Joe, thanks for calling in, Joe. Hi, Joe. All right, that was Joe, line one. He's not there. Let's go to line two. Thomas, line two. Thomas, thanks for calling in, Thomas.
Hey, Brandon, thanks. I actually work in healthcare, and that 20% that you keep saying is probably pretty close in the healthcare setting. I don't know about in the public. I think it might be more like 30-35%. COVID status, yeah, that's right there on the medical, like on the chart. It's right under the name.
So you think it may be 30-35% of Americans that haven't been vaxxed?
Yeah, I mean, in healthcare, I think it's higher, but like in the general population, yeah, I think it might be like 35.
Well, that would be nice if that's the case, because I keep getting told and reading reports it's about 20%.
But yeah.
If it's higher than that, that would be excellent.
And then, the new thing on, the healthcare, on like the bracelets, they have the pronouns now.
You're kidding me.
No, I know. I was shocked. No, yeah, you see it every bracelet, somebody goes into the hospital, they get a bracelet with their name and date of birth, and then it has pronouns.
Incredible. And so you can verify that the health system is routinely tracking now who's vaxxed and who's not.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah.
Thomas checking in from Wisconsin. Jason from Scottsdale, Arizona. Jason, thanks for calling in, Jason.
Thank you. Brandon, real quick, I just want to say that your description of the documentary, how anybody cannot think that is not murder, I don't know. And my second real point quick, are you familiar with the research of Mae Brussels, M-A-E-B-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, out of California? You might want to look her up, but real quick, she was uncovering CIA documents in 1977 on air, spouting a lot of what you talk about and saying how much money that was spent, what hospitals, universities, what these drugs went to for experimentation, medical and otherwise, what they did to pilots. I highly suggest, if you haven't heard of her, look her up.
I have not, but I am definitely going to look her up. Thank you for that tip. I appreciate it. Jason checking in from Scottsdale, Arizona. Let's go to Joe from Iowa, line four. Joe from Iowa, thanks for calling in, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon, for taking my call. 2 points. One, you were talking about compliance and how the doctors complying to the higher authorities. Look, Brandon, Moses' mother did not comply, and because of that, she saved a nation, okay? Not only that, I was recently listening to your Brainwashed America Part 2.
Yeah.
Talking about how only 5% of the soldiers resisted and how sad that is. Is that any reflection of American people today? 3% was all it took in the War for Independence. 3% of Americans fought. So I reckon if we got 5%, Brandon, we got an advantage. All right? Okay? So there's always got to be a good side to the news. And I recognize it's sad. It's bad. But you know what? We can't give up just because it looks bad.
No, we can't. We don't give up. We cannot give up. Okay, they're telling us they can't hear the callers, Logan, through Lindell TV. All right, it's fixed. All right, sorry, guys. Let's go to... let's see.
Zoe?
No. Zoltan, line two. Line two. Zoltan, thanks for calling in, Zoltan. Line two.
Yes, I just wanted to say it's amazing how people are able to assign guilt and evil. And look at Hitler. I'm of German descent, so I'm very cognizant of that. And so you say, Hitler's bad man, killed 12 million people. And I say, but you know what? We did something that Hitler was never able to do. We have been able to kill more than five times as many, and we have 100.00000% with certainty innocent kills. Everyone was innocent. Amazing.
But, you know, it is amazing.
And Hitler's a bad man.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that earlier today. I'm thinking, I think our federal government has probably become and could be classified as one of the biggest mass murderers in world history. I know we sit around and talk about China and Russia, you know, and their histories, which are horrific, and I'm not going to defend, of course. But America sits over here and acts so pious and self-righteous. We've probably been one of the biggest murderers as well when you figure what we've done to our own people, active euthanasia, abortion, now the COVID shot. In fact, speaking of the COVID shot, I'd promise you this. This is what I interviewed Matt Staber on last night. Pfizer's FDA Food and Drug Administration approval records show that the company's mRNA jab, this is their own records, folks. This is the government records. This is why they wanted it hidden for 75 years. Caused a horrific 87.5% fetal death rate when pregnant women were injected. And they know what's going on, and now they just officially added the shots to the child immunization schedule. I hate to say it, but I think our federal government is one of the biggest mass murderers in world history. They're up there with the rest of the horrific governments that did this kind of thing to their own people. Most Americans just don't know it. Does that make me anti-American? No. What that makes me is anti-corruption. Again, what is the philosophy and the ideas that have bred this? You have to point out the problem and the sickness in order to stop it. Let's go to David, line three. David, thanks for calling in, David.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, the last several days with the different information you've been bringing out, you know, the whole Northwoods thing and stuff, it seems like you're coming at this thing with a whole new set of information and videos and news clips and stuff that I haven't heard you bring up before. And I think it's great because I think it's sad. The church in America is the most asleep at the wheel organization in America. I mean, you talk about what the Nazis did. They had to force people to burn books. What did we do with our seeker-friendly movement in the churches? Millions of hymnals, millions of Bibles thrown out voluntarily by the church.
Wow. Great point. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.